want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, and it's good to see some of our young people all dressed up like that. Robert, you look good. I remember reading a cartoon about somebody that was coming to church, and sometimes, you know, some people, they make sure they come to Christmas or Easter, and sometimes they fill in other times, but some just come there, and he was talking to the pastor afterward. He said, "Pastor, I think you're in a rut. Every time I come, you preach the same message." So today is Christmas Sunday, and it is a Christmas message, but I want to take you back to a little bit further than the birth of Christ in a moment, but I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer first. Father, we come before you and we come thanking you. It is indeed a wonderful time when we celebrate what is so precious and so unbelievable that you have given your Son to us. We pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, would you encourage us as we consider your sacrifice and your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take you back about 6 months before the birth of Jesus. And there was somebody else that was born. And it wasn't Jesus, but it was a really important person. I think we don't think too much about him because, well, he's not the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, obviously. But his name was John. Some of you might remember him. If you follow in scriptures, you'll find it. He's not the writer of the epistle or the letter of John, the Gospel of John. He was what we named him later, John the Baptist. 6 months before Jesus was born, he was born. Now, why was that so important? Why was that even recorded? Thousands of people are born all the time, right? He was born from a special birth because his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, well, they couldn't have any children. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. And they were praying to God, and God answered them. And one day, while Zechariah was serving in the priesthood in the temple, standing next to the altar of incense, an angel came and stood there to speak to him. Actually, that angel's name is Gabriel, so we know Gabriel a little bit. And he told Zechariah what's going to happen, that because they have been so faithful and prayerful, they are going to have a child. And this child is going to be very, very special. Now, Zechariah just kind of answered in an unbelieving way in this sense. He said, "I'm so old, my wife is so old, how could we have children?" Now, you got to be careful when God speaks to you, okay? However way, through an angel or otherwise, when he says something, it's true, so do not doubt him. And because of his little doubt there, the angel said, "Well, you are not going to be able to speak until the baby is born." So Zechariah was not able to say anything after that. He was kind of muted. And then the baby was born 6 months before Jesus was born. Now, this is important because 30 years later, if you follow with me, fast forward 30 years later, while the world was in turmoil, kind of like our world today, the politicians were corrupt. The Roman Empire was ruling things. They were at the height of their power, 500 years into their Pax Romana, 1,000-year rule. The people were suffering in so many ways. People were hopeless, as we were talking about just earlier, the Advent. People had no hope. Suddenly, out of the desert, on the eastern side of Jerusalem, out there by the Jordan River, a man came forth. And he began to preach. Now, you have to understand, for 400 years now, the Jewish people, they had not had any prophetic messages at all. Now, back in the Old Testament, you know, Moses and Abraham and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, all these great prophets. But for 400 years, Israel had not had any. Nobody was speaking anything. It was like a dead time for them. 400 years is a long time, almost double the length of the expanse of the United States of America. Suddenly, this guy came forth, and people began to flock out there. And it was John. It was John the Baptist. He was baptizing people. He was calling people to repent. He was having such a mighty effect. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, said that no man from a woman born of a woman is greater than him. Can you imagine that? John the Baptist was considered greater than the great prophet Elijah. greater than Isaiah, greater than Jeremiah. Who can think that? The Jewish people couldn't consider that. These are great people, great prophets. Jesus said he was greater. And the reason he's greater is because of what he was doing. He was preparing the way of the Lord. So there he is out there. And in John, as you get into it, John chapter 1, and we'll come back to where we are today in the Christmas message in a moment. But in John chapter 1, after John, not the same John now, the Apostle John, as he's writing, he's talking about Jesus, who he was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and so forth. Right, at this point, he goes back historically, and he wanted to point out John the Baptist. And there's a reason he was doing that, because John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord. And during this particular historic time, he recorded, John the Apostle, recorded what happened with John the Baptist. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were getting a little frightened. What is going on out there in the eastern part of our country? Why are all these people, maybe thousands of them, going out there? What is this person there? They haven't seen one like that before for 400 years. Who is he? So they went out there and they began to ask. And they got to John, said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? We've been waiting for the Messiah. Are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? Remember, Elijah went up into heaven. He never died, right? Did you come? Are you Elijah? Because he's doing all these things. He's galvanizing people everywhere. Are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. Then who are you? And this is what he said. He said, I am the person preparing the way for the Messiah, for someone who's so great that I don't even qualify to untie the sandal, which is the lowest thing that a servant in that time would do. You would take care of the master or his guest's feet, you know. That's dirty and filthy. No one does that unless you're the lowest of the lowest. He said, I cannot even do that. That's how great he is. And so they kept asking him questions. It was a few days that was happening. The second day came about. The next day, it says, in the passage that we had, And they were still there asking these questions. Who are you? We want to know who you are. Because obviously you're affecting our country. You're affecting the people that are Jewish. People are coming up to you. You're baptizing people. You're making a thing that is so powerful in our country. We want to know who you are. And then as they were asking him the question, John saw Jesus coming. Now, you need to know John knows Jesus. The reason is because they're relatives. Elizabeth and Mary were related, probably cousins. So he probably grew up knowing about Jesus, but for 30 years, you didn't hear anything. At that moment, he sees Jesus, and he said, look, gets everybody's attention, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, John the Baptist was the person that was to introduce the Messiah to the world. He was to introduce and prepare the way for Jesus. That's who he was. And it's interesting that he addressed him like this. Look, the Lamb of God. He called Jesus the Lamb of God. Now think about this for a moment. All these years, the Jewish people were looking for Messiah. More than ever, under the pressure and the terrible scourge of the Roman Empire, they were looking for Messiah. The Messiah they were looking for is a king. The Messiah they were looking for was a conqueror. The Messiah they were looking for was someone that would lead them out of bondage. They were thinking all these things. Never in their mind did they think that the Messiah would do something for them to save them from their sins. They never thought that. They didn't think they need to. They had their methodologies already. They were religious people. They didn't need that. And so when John introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God, he changed everything. Why the Lamb of God? Why the Lamb of God? You see, in the Jewish context, probably in ours too, in most of the known world, lamb, well, sheep, they're good for two things, right? You cut the wool, you make things out of them, you make clothes out of them, that's what you do. And the other thing is you eat them. They don't do anything else. They really don't. They're not good for protecting you. They're not like a protecting dog or something. They don't have any power. There's nothing about them. Sheep, they're not known to be very smart. In fact, if one sheep would jump off a cliff, the others will probably follow and jump off the cliff too. That's what sheep do. So what is it about the sheep or the lamb? Well, you see, in that context, they were killed every single day. They were killed for food. They were killed for all kinds of things. And one of the things they were killed for, they were killed for sacrifice. They were used in temple sacrifice. They were often used. They were not the only animals used, but it is the preferred animal. They would use a lamb, kill it, let the blood bleed, and be offered to God as atonement for their sacrifice. So that's why John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now go all the way back now. I don't know if you ever thought about this. I thought it's really interesting. That of all places, 30 years earlier, that Jesus will be born, it's in a stable. Have you thought about that? Who just gets born in a stable? You say maybe they have stables everywhere? No, I don't think so. What? Okay. They couldn't find a place to go in. There was no hotels. They were all booked. There were no friends in Bethlehem for them. Couldn't they gone into a tent? Couldn't they just throw a tent up? No. Couldn't there be any place anywhere under the tree somewhere? No. Had to be in a stable. But when you think about it, the question that is the title of this message, where else but a stable would a lamb be born? That's most of the time where animals are born. They either birth out there. Sometimes it happens out there, you know, in the fields. But most of the time, if an animal is going to be born, a farmer will say, take that animal, the mother, into a stable. That's where you will birth it, if you can. And it makes so much sense. It's just a picturesque thing that God did for us. So that we can see that his son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his son was going to be born in a stable. Why? Because he is his lamb. He is the Lamb of God. Why? Because he is going to grow up and be sacrificed. He's not going to, at this coming, he is not going to be like bring up a big rebellion and revolution and overthrowing the Roman Empire. No, he is going to die on the cross of Calvary because that's what we needed. We didn't need a conqueror at this point. We needed a savior. We need a sacrifice. We needed someone that will sacrifice himself for us. And the only one that can do it is someone that has no sin. The only one that can do it is the Son of God. But he had to do it as a man, so he became a man. He became the Lamb of God. And where else would he be born? Right there in the stable. And indeed, the Lamb was born. As I studied this, and I kind of went through the Bible, looking at the word Lamb, you know, the understanding and the idea. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, for a child is born, to us a son is given. It doesn't have the word Lamb, but it is intended for that. And if you read through Isaiah, you'll find more of that motif. The Lamb was born. He became a man. This is the incarnation. This is what Christmas is all about. So why does he have to do that? Why can't he just go directly to the cross? No, he had to replace us. This is God's righteousness. This is how God works. The justice of God is this. If you sin, you must die. I know today we want to think otherwise. We want to think otherwise. That if we sin, we don't have to die. Because God will do something else. We don't have to pay for our sins. You know, if we sin, well, you know what? God would let it go. This is not God. Our God is a God of love, but he's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. And for him to be God Almighty, who he is, sin must be dealt with. And it was dealt with, and Jesus paid it for us. So he was born. He had to become a man. And he was born as a lamb in a stable. As we go on, I want to bring you to Revelation chapter 5. It's interesting here. In the book of Revelation, when it's talking about the end times, when everything's there and it's looking at the throne of heaven, says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of this throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. So the lamb had to be slain. Had to be. And even in the throne room of God, one day when we get to heaven, there's this picture there of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, looking as if it had been slain, even there. As a reminder of what he did for us, as a reminder of what was needed. You need to understand, if Jesus was not slain, it would be you and I that would be slain. We already face the consequence of death. Death came into this world because of sin. Otherwise, we would never have died. We don't even die physically. Adam and Eve would not have died had they not sinned. We would not have to face death. But nevertheless, we do face death. But at least this is just this death alone, and it is not eternal death because of Jesus Christ. Because he died on the cross of Calvary. He paid for us, and he had to do it. He did it for us. He did it for you. Otherwise, it would not have happened. We would not have the possibility of eternal life. I know today one of the things that is happening with our religion, I was talking to someone earlier this morning about how the Christian faith is being twisted in so many different ways. And the Bible itself doesn't really matter anymore, it seems. And you know what? Something like this, I know you don't have to carry this anymore. I still read from it. It is the NIV. It's got big letters. I can see a little better. I know you can go into your tablets, and I do all the time. But you know, the Word of God is so powerful. But today, there's a lot of people claiming to be Christians that would interpret it differently. That would interpret it the way they want to interpret it, the way the world is, the way the society is today. And they would say, you know what? Truth is what? Truth is my truth. It's how I see the Word of God. And they do not want to look at any of these things. They don't want to look at sin. They don't want to look at the need for salvation. They don't want to do any of that. But the fact of the matter is, the Lamb of God that was born on Christmas, well, you know what? That Lamb was slain. I think when we think about Christmas, we need to think about that. When we think about Jesus, we need to think about that. When we think about the baby Jesus, as cute as that baby may be, we need to think about that. That baby grew up and was on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? Because he did, go back to that verse that we read, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb saves. The Lamb saves. You know, he's the only one that can save. I know there's a lot of definition of salvation today. Depending on what religion you want to look at, you know, they want to tell you what salvation is. And even in the Christian faith, they want to describe what salvation is. I remember a friend of mine who was a very liberal Reformed pastor. When I talked to him about it, and I said, you know what, do you believe in, you know, being born again? He said, oh, no, we don't believe that. You don't need to be born again. You just have to be moral. We are. We go to church, you know, we go to liturgical things. We're just moral. That's all we have to do. We have to love people, care about people, whatever that means. You know what? I don't disagree with him that we need to be moral, that we need to care about people, love people, and all those things. But I want to tell you, we need to be born again. And the only way we can be born again is because of the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary and how he died on the cross for us. And we have to take that. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you for saving me by taking my place on the cross of Calvary and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's how we are saved. We have to be born again in Jesus Christ. And because of the Lamb of God, that happened. Let me go to the last part. I want to dwell, sit here a little bit. We've been talking about this a little bit in the book of Hebrews. If you follow, if you come to church, I've been going through this series on Hebrews. And in Hebrews, we talk about how Jesus Christ is greater than anyone and everyone. And that he reigns in heaven. The Lamb reigns. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. You know, I think that we forget that the sovereign King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is Jesus Christ. And I don't know how many of you perhaps don't know the Lord today. But you see, I come to church. I'm okay. But is he the ruler of your life? Does he reign in your heart? Is he the Lamb that is born in Bethlehem, that lived for 33 years on earth and died on the cross of Calvary, resurrected after 3 days? Is he the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in your life? Is he the Lamb of God? You know, I'm going to celebrate Christmas with my family. I'm so glad that my son and daughter-in-law and my grandkids can be here. A few of them, anyway. I know that some of you would do the same. But you know what? When Christmas comes, I know it might not be the exact day. I know that if you go theologically and historically, it may not be the day that Jesus was really born, but we recognize it as that day. We recognize that day as the day that he was born. Would you take some time, some moments, in which you can come before the Lord, say, Lord God, I thank you so much that you made a choice. You made a choice to become a man. You made a choice to be incarnate. You made a choice to be Emmanuel, God with us. You made a choice to be born as a lamb. You made a choice to die in my place. You made a choice so that I can live forever. And now you reign. And as the Advent, we've been doing this for 4 weeks now. As the Advent represents, he is coming back. And the next time he comes, he's not going to come as the lamb. He is the lamb, but not the lamb who would die. He already did. He is going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to come and take us back with him. If we are still alive at that time, we are told that we'll be caught up in the air. If we have died at that time, and your relatives, maybe your spouse, maybe your parents, maybe even your children, you know what? You don't have to sweat that, because we are told in 1 Corinthians that they will resurrect, and they will be there. They will stand face to face before the living God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Lord is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to them and to us. He's going to come back again. The Advent is going to happen. And when that happens, I want to tell you something. All the things that we care about today, all the cares and concerns and the burdens of yesterday, well, they're just going to fade away. They won't matter one bit. And all that because of Christmas, because the Lamb was born. And I love it. Where else would he be born but in a stable? I'm going to take a moment and ask you to bow your head in prayer with me. And this is what I want to do. This is just a simple message of Jesus Christ. I know there are people here that do not know the Lord. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you've been coming to church all your life. Maybe you just come once in a while. Maybe this is the first time you've been here. You came for Christmas. You came for some of the celebration that we'll have in a moment. But you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ yet. You say, what does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that we need to believe that he is the Lord. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. That Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, became a man, born in a stable, grew up, ministered, and then he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Not because they made him. They couldn't have forced him. He was way too powerful for that. But he volunteered. And he'd allow evil men to nail his body to the cross of Calvary. And there he died. They buried him, and in 3 days he resurrected, because they cannot hold him. Death cannot hold the living God in the grave. And the Bible tells us whoever confesses his name as Lord and Savior, whoever believes in their hearts, that Jesus is risen from the dead. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. And the Spirit of the living God will come into your life. He will transform you. The Holy Spirit will give you new birth. The Holy Spirit will give you a whole perspective on everything, because you're a different and transformed person. If that's never happened to you, today I want to ask you to do that. Just right now, in the quietness of your heart, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just say to him, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I want to ask you to become my Lord and my Savior. I want you to become the King of my life. I will confess that you are my Lord. I believe that you have been risen from the dead, and I look forward to seeing you someday face to face. I want to go to heaven with you. If you haven't done that before, do that. right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. I just want to thank you for the Christmas message. So simple. So transformative. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you made a choice to become the lamb that was born in that stable, to be the Lamb of God for us, to become a man, to become God with us, Emmanuel. Lord God, I want to thank you so much that because of the Christmas message, eternity is different for us. Those who have given their lives to you, eternity will never be the same. We don't have to worry about the consequences of sin for eternity. We don't have to worry about where we will go. Hope is just completely bright before us. Lord Jesus, we come before you, and we want to thank you for that. And today, as we celebrate Christmas, as we go and do other things to celebrate this day and this week, Lord, would you remind us again and again and again what Christmas is about? It is the Lamb of God given to us so that we may be saved. We thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.